Man, what a blessing. I haven't heard that song in a while, Born to Die. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ was born, that He died, He was buried, and rose again, that we might have everlasting life. It's good to have Brother Henderson to come and speak for us, preach for us this morning. Brother Henderson's been in the ministry over 70 years. What a blessing he's been to us and to our church. And Brother Henderson, you come on and speak to us.
Merry Christmas to all of you. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, although I'm not going to read the Christmas story. That was so well done here on Wednesday night by Brother McNeil that it would be almost doubling up to do it again. But I want to tie on kind of where he left off in this second chapter of Luke and talk to you about some things that happened after Christmas. Now, tomorrow will be after Christmas, so we're coming up to that time rapidly. And I want you to see what took place, refresh your memory about it at least, in Bible times. So one of the verses that Brother McNeil read, I want to reread, Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. This is about the shepherds. They all went into Bethlehem to see the newborn babe. They all went in there with joy. Verse 17 says of chapter 2, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." Be sure and get that now. When they saw the child and left, they made known what they had seen and what they had been told. So after Christmas, I think you and I should make known what we know about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we ought to be bold to say what we believe and give word to what was going on. So they made known the fact everywhere they went, these young shepherds. And the sacred page doesn't tell me any information about the babe from the manger. But the next time you see him, he'll be in a house. And the Bible does not tell me how he got to the house. So I like to use my own imagination. You use yours if you'd rather. It'd be all right. I like to imagine that when these shepherds were making known about the babe in the manger and that young mother and that young father, that some godly woman said to her husband, "Abe, we don't want to let that young couple and that baby stay down there in that stinking stable. There wasn't room in the inn, but bless God, we'll make room in our house. Let's go down there and get these people and bring them up to our house." Now, that's what I like to believe about it. You like to believe something else, that's all right. But anyway, the next time you see the Savior, he'll be in the in a house. Verse 20 of our chapter 2 said, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them." This is a great conclusion to the Christmas story. But look at verse 21 now. "And when 8 days were accomplished," this is 8 days after the first Christmas, "when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, and his name was called Jesus." Now, Mary stoutly said, "This baby's name's going to be Jesus, because an angel came and told me to name him that." That's a derivative from the word Joshua. "And he's going to save his people from their sins." There's just not much discussion about his name. And they named him and gave him the mark of circumcision. Verse 22 says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem." I want you to get that now. They were in Bethlehem for the birth. About 5 miles up the road, there's that city of Jerusalem. And in that city, there is the temple of God, one of the most magnificent buildings you can possibly imagine. They worked on it 47 years. And this humble couple, Mary and Joseph, and I think they are probably some of the more prominent people in all the Bible. I like Joseph. I think he is a man of God from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And they're going to Jerusalem now. These people have likely never seen inside the temple. They no doubt saw the outside, but they may have never been in there. I do not know. But let's see what happens. They brought him to present him to the Lord, the end of verse 22. Oh, glorious day. They're going to go up and present the baby to the Lord. Now, according to the book of Leviticus, they were supposed to bring a lamb for the offering. And if they were too poor to bring a lamb, they could bring two birds. So you'll see when we get just a bit further here now what is taking place. Look at verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, they were too poor for the lamb. But do not fret. Mary has the Lamb of God in her arms when she goes up there. And that lamb will do for the sacrificial offering for the sins of all the world for all time. It was very effective in my life, and I want it to be in yours. So they're coming up here with just a pair of pigeons or birds, and Mary has the child. Verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. The word just here is also translated upright. Here's an old man in the city of Jerusalem. He's been spending his time in the temple waiting for the Christ to be born. And the Holy Spirit had said to him, Simeon, you won't die until you've seen the Lord's Christ. Every day that old man went up to the temple. And it's different when we old men move around. His feet did not bounce with the nimble step that yours do. Like mine, they shuffled along. Not raising very high for fear of getting overbalanced and falling over. But this old man is still not ready to die. He hasn't seen the Lord's Christ yet. He hasn't seen Jesus Christ yet. And every day he goes to the temple. And one day he was about to go into the temple, and the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, this is the day. Oh, glorious day when he sees the Son of God. Oh, glorious day in your life when you know Jesus Christ and let your spiritual eyes feast upon his magnificent face. This is going to be a good day for this old man. I want you to know he couldn't thread a needle. Because there's a tremor in the hands of all we old men. He couldn't have possibly walked very fast. He couldn't have lifted very much. His bony little old arms, the muscle has gone away when he hadn't used them much. His little arms must have looked like a bird's legs. And he was not supposed to lift a very heavy weight. But here he is up in the temple. And coming in at the door there is this humble couple, frightened, I guess, maybe awe-inspired by the great temple, wanting to do the right thing. They're bringing the baby to dedicate it to the Lord. And they want to be sure that every move is appropriate. And so I see them standing there in the door. And I want you in your mind just to see Mary and Joseph with the baby standing in the door of this great room in the temple of God. Oh, glorious day when you can take your children to the house of God. And you young parents that are here, let me urge upon you with all the vehemence of my soul, make plans to keep your children in the house of God. It's a good place for them. Here's that old man standing way over here. Back there is the young couple. Aren't they handsome? Oh, they may have been poor, but bless God, they weren't shabby. They were clean as any fuller soap might make them. The best that they had was well pressed, and they wanted to present themselves in the house of God. And when they're standing there, awe-inspired, waiting to see what's going to happen and wanting not to make the wrong move, and how I sympathize with them. So many times I've been in the house of God and been fearful that I'd make the wrong move. And I always wanted to do right in the house of God. I wanted to do what I thought would glorify the Lord. And here's this young couple. Over there stands that old man. He's been waiting for this time. Verse 25 again says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Amen. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." I'm going to see him, he's saying. I'm going to see the Savior. Before I die, before I close these lids in death, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I've been waiting, to whom I've been praying, with whom I've been fellowshipping, the one that I've been loving. I'm going to see him before I die. And let me digress from the material for just long enough to say, you are not ready to die until you've seen the Son of God. And be sure that, you know, these Fort Worth drivers, you may die younger than you think you are, ought to. I'd be sure to get that taken care of today, if I were you. That doesn't cost anything extra. That's same price the rest of the sermon now. All right, verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when he had the parents had brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up." Little old weak man, standing way back over there. I guarantee you, from there to the door where Mary and Joseph stood, he had a spring in his step. He hadn't walked that way in many a year, but I guarantee you his feet are going up and down, and he's going straight to them. He's not going to digress. He's not going to stop by and talk to his friends. He's going straight to Mary and Joseph because they have the baby. And at first thought, when you first read this, you say, I hope that old man doesn't try to hold that baby up. He may drop the baby. But let me tell you something. Those steps are going straight to them, and Mary and Joseph both see him coming. And they do not try to step aside. They know what's going to happen. But I want to tell you, when those little trembly hands of that old man reached out to the Son of God, they were as strong as a surgeon about to do a delicate surgery on a sick person. And those hands were as stable as they could be. And those little arms must have felt like Samson. They must have felt like I could push the temple down again as Samson did. That old man reached out there and took that baby in his arms. And let me digress again and say to you, in your life, make absolutely certain that you have reached out with your hands, not your mother's hands or somebody else's hands, but with your hands, and embrace the Son of God. Get him up in your arms. This old man's going to hold the Savior. This is a tender scene, isn't it? This is a loving scene. I know you want me to read on, but don't rush me now. Let me have a little time here to enjoy all this with you as we go. And look at verse 28 now. "And he took him up in his arms and blessed God." Amen. If you ever touch the Son of God, you'll thank God for what has happened there. You'll be a different person once you get him in your arms. He's thanking God for the baby. Look at this old man carrying that newborn babe with the strength of Samson in his arms, walking about, looking up to God, looking down into the face of the Savior, looking around at the crowd. He's thanking God for all this. And now look at 29. And now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I'm ready. I'm ready to go, Lord. Anytime you're ready, I'm ready. I want to go, Lord. When my feet touch the cold waters of the river of death, when my feet touch those waters in that Jordan, those waters are going to part back and I'm going to walk across dry shod. And by the time I get to the other side, I'm going to have a new body. These arms are going to be strong when I get to the other side. These feet are going to be nimble when I get to the other side. He's saying, Lord, I'm ready to get in the water. I'm ready to go across the river of death. I'm ready to come into your presence. Let me do it in peace. Look at verse 30 now. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You don't have salvation until you get it from Jesus Christ. All this bunch of foreigners that are coming to our land bringing other gods and other methods of being saved are a bunch of phonies. There's no other way to get saved than through Jesus Christ. And after Christmas, this old man is seeing a sight that all of you need to see. All of you need. He's saying, now, Lord, I'm ready, for I have seen thy salvation. I think I could pause here for a long time and preach a little while without doing any damage, but I hasten that verse 31, and when thou hast prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Isn't that marvelous? Gentiles, we got light when Jesus came. Jews, you got glory when Jesus came. Look at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them, that's Mary and Joseph. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. This child is set for the fall of some people. Some people are going to stumble right over him. He's going to be a stumbling rock. He's going to be a stumbling stone. Some people are going to stumble right over him, but others will rise through him. And I want you to know I'm one of the riser-uppers. I have not wanted to be one of the stumble-downers in this thing. 85 years ago, I trusted him as my Savior, and I've never stumbled at him. I've never been ashamed of him. I've never doubted that he's able to save me to the uttermost. So this old man looked at Mary and said, some folks will stumble over him. Some folks will fall because of him. But some folks will rise again. And thank God for the risers here. Then he looked at Mary and said, Mary, an awful thing is out there. It's going to be like taking a steel sword and jabbing it right through your soul, not your body, your soul. Your soul's going to feel this steel sword coming there now. Yea, a sword's going to pierce through you. In addition to all of this, I just can't find a quitting place. That 18-minute thing's got to go today. There are just too many good things here. Listen now. Look at 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age. My humble calculation tell me that she was at least 121 years old. She's been waiting around here to see Jesus Christ. She's been waiting around here to see the Lamb of God. She was a widow of about 4 years ago. And come look at verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. All you people that have been waiting for redemption, she said, it's here now. Jesus Christ can redeem you. He can wash you from all your sins. He can make you whiter than snow. He can prepare you for heaven. Your feet will walk properly on the gold. Your hands will touch the walls of jasper and be happy about them. This woman is praising God and thanking God for all the good things that were going to come to pass here. And then when I come down in the chapter to an ensuing verse, I want you to see what's going to happen here now. Verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God. The grace of God was upon him. Now, good things are yet to be. So you couldn't ask me to quit now, could you? We got to see some more of these good things that are going to come to pass. And I want to tell you that the things I'm talking about here, I do not have a calendar for. And I make no apology for that. In other words, I'm not saying this happened and then on Tuesday that happened and Wednesday that happened. I can't get a calendar there. And the scholars in the library of mine do not get a calendar worked out to my satisfaction. But I don't worry about the calendar. I'm just glad all these things happen. And they can get put in their place in the right time of God. But for me, they all took place and they're all good and they all happened right. Now, turn your Bibles over to the book of Matthew now, please. Chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 of the book of Matthew. And this is some more things that happened after Christmas. Look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, the words wise men, we Americans, that's their name. We put that on them as their... That's not their name. There are two words here. Wise men. And that's the way you need to pronounce it. Wise men. They were wise because they knew the book of Daniel. They were wise because they knew the book of Jeremiah. They were wise because they knew when the Christ was supposed to come. And they saw his star in the east, but they went west. They didn't go back there to where the star was. They knew it was time. They were wise men. They knew that Jesus was to be born at that time. So they went west and they went to Jerusalem because it was the capital of God's people. And they surmised that that's where Jesus Christ would be born. And that's a good idea to do. So they were going back there. And they went to Jerusalem. And according to verse 2 of chapter 2, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now, he didn't become the King of the Jews. He wasn't later on King of the Jews. He was the King of the Jews in Bethlehem's manger. He was born that. He was born the King. And all the wise men of our time cannot take that away from him. He was the Son of God then. He'd be the Son of God forever. And they said, "Where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod's about to lose the throne, and he knows it. And so he's very troubled about all these things. He called these wise men in and said, "Where is this Christ that was to be born?" And they said, "We don't know, but surely someone here does." Herod called in all the prophets and the other men of faith. And he said, "Where is the Christ to be born?" They said, "Down there in Bethlehem, in that little town." And that's where he is now. He's been born down there. And the wise men said, "All right, we'll go down there and see him. We want to worship him." And let me tell you, wise men are still seeking an opportunity to worship Jesus Christ because he is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God. He is our magnificent. He is our salvation. He is all in all. So they said, "Well, we want to go down there and worship him." And Herod said, "All right, when you find him, come back up here and tell me where he is." The sorry scoundrel had no good intent. He had a bad intent. You know what he was going to do? He was going to kill that baby. That was his desire. That was his aim. What goes on in the heart of a man who is so sinful that he wants to kill the baby Jesus Christ, who did not have a finger to raise against Herod? He was no threat to Herod, and Herod knew it. But he didn't want him to grow up and take his place. He was jealous of the day when he would not his lineage would not be on the throne again. And so he said, you come back and let me know. But the angel of the Lord said to these fellows, don't do it. Don't go back. He has bad intent in mind. And so once they got there to where he was, look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, I told you he was in the house. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. They prostrated themselves. These are noble men. These are wise men. But they fell on their face in the presence of the Son of God. And I digress again long enough to say, all of you that are very wise will fall on your knees before the Son of God. And your knees going to bow before Him sometime anyway. Just well be right today. Today ought to be the day that you bow. They fell down and worshiped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him His gifts. Gold. They knew He'd need some gold to finance things along the way. They gave Him some frankincense, which went in the anointing oil. They knew He'd need to be anointed to be the king. They gave Him some myrrh, which was an aromatic substance that was used in all kinds of things. But in particular, it was used to anoint the body of the dead. And so the wise men were saying, He'll need to be anointed when He's dead, so here's some myrrh for it. But the angel of the Lord came to him and said, don't go back by old Herod, because he has no good intent. Don't go back that way. So they went home another way. Verse 16 said, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. Exceeding wroth. I want you to be sure and get that. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Thus was it fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation. So there's a voice of crying in all the country. And Jeremiah had prophesied that it would come. He had said that it would take place. And he said, there in Ramah you'll hear the voice, the voice of Rachel weeping. Rachel been dead 1,700 years. But boy, when Herod killed all those babies, all that sorry scum, when he killed all those babies, there was weeping in the land. Mothers weeping would not be consoled for the death of their children. And it seemed that you could hear the voice of Rachel out of the tomb 1,700 years ago, weeping over over her child. Rachel and Jacob were traveling, and she was great with child, and she whispered to him one day, husband, it's time, the baby's coming. And they brought the midwives in and set up camp, and when the baby came, Rachel died, and she wept over the child, and weeping. And the midwife said, oh, it's all right. It's all right, Rachel. Don't cry. The baby, it's a little boy. And you'll love this little boy. But Rachel knew the end was there. And she said, name my little boy Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. Name my little boy the son of my sorrow. And she wept. But when Jacob had the little boy by himself and Rachel was gone, he said, I can't stand this. I can't stand to call this boy the son of my sorrow. He named him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. Oh, you can get the rest from there now, can't you? You don't need me to tell you about that. He's not the son of his sorrow. He's the son of his right hand. And was with him all the way along. But they heard the voice of Rachel weeping in the tomb. They heard the voice of mothers all over the country. going and lamenting the death of their children. And when all of this took place, the angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, you and Mary better grab the baby and go. Herod will kill your child." And Mary and Joseph got up in the night, the Bible says, in the night, and started toward Egypt. Now, let me tell you, it's a long way from Jerusalem to Egypt. I rode in an air-conditioned bus from the capital of Egypt up to Jerusalem. 8 hours. And that's the most God-forsaken country you've ever seen in all of your life. It's desert and forsaken land. It's a terrible place. But Mary and Joseph were walking in the night, stumbling over whatever was in the way. They've got to get the baby to safety. And thank God for Mary and Joseph. They got the baby to safety, and Herod didn't touch him. And he died, and the baby didn't. So I could stay a long time and talk to you about protecting the baby. They walked down there to protect him. And you'll not have to do that. But I'll tell you, in our country, his reputation is being ridiculed. His book is being torn apart. His kingship is being knocked down. People coming in from other countries with false gods of all kinds. But let me tell you, one of our jobs after Christmas is to stand up for the Christ and stand up for the book and stand up for salvation. If it costs us something, we need to stand up and say, "Jesus Christ is the only way." After Christmas, they protected the Christ child. They didn't get him. He's still alive. And the next time you see him, he's going to be riding a white horse, coming out of glory. His vesture will be dipped in blood. And on his side, the words are written, "King of kings and Lord of lords." He's the Lord up there. And right on the backside of glory, right now, there is a stable that keeps the horse that he's going to ride. He's coming again. He's coming again. So at this Christmas time, what I want you to do, when you look away from the Christmas tree, and I like the Christmas tree, understand, when you look away from it tomorrow, I want you to look down there to Jerusalem. On a ball knob, there is a tree. It's not pretty. It's a rugged old tree. But the greatest gift ever offered to mankind hangs on that tree, the body of the Son of God, who gave himself a sacrifice for everyone that's in this auditorium. And if everyone that's in this auditorium has not accepted that sacrifice, I press upon you to do it when I give the invitation in just a moment. Go ahead, girls, and get to the music. I want us to sing today a soft invitation, a sweet invitation. I want us all over the crowd to join in this invitation hymn, because what we're doing is inviting people who've not yet been saved to come to Calvary. Tomorrow the Christmas tree will be out of our mind, but the tree of Calvary ought to be high in our minds. It ought to be a prominent thing. So all over the congregation, I appeal to you, I beg of you, with every fiber of my old body, I'm saying to you, you need Jesus Christ today. Not by and by, but today you need to accept Him. And I want you to do that. You say, "Well, Dr. Henderson, I don't know what to do." That's all right. Come on down here. These guys are here. They'll help you. Come on down here and say, I don't know how to be saved." They'll tell you. Come on down here and say, "I'm a Christian, but I'm not a member of the church I want to be." Come on down here and say, "I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized. Tell me what to do." They'll help you. They'll love helping. They'll not embarrass you. So quietly stand all over the auditorium, as quietly as possible. Now, when the invitation hymn starts, I want you to step out and come. It's time to do something about it. Sing.